to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and around the world at KDWA.com. Welcome to another edition of Talk Real Estate, brought to you by the Realtors of Edina Realty of Hastings. We have in our studios today the Bee Lady. How are you today, Pam?
Well, I am most excellent. It was so beautiful walking in, so I have hope. I have hope that we're going to have serious spring and summer here soon.
I think it is. I mean, we still could have a little bit, but it doesn't last long and it's gone.
So. Yeah, yeah.
So does this kind of weather, though, confuse the bees? Because one day it's like 70 degrees and the next there's a couple inches of snow and then the next it's back to, they're back out. Do they kind of hibernate during, if you get a snowstorm or cold zip like
they'll
that?
Just, I mean, if they try poking their head out and see that there's flakes coming down, they'll just poke their heads right back in and stay put until it gets nice again. And they know, I mean, when the weather is nice, you know, it gets up in the 50s. Oh, my word, they are flying all over the place looking for something to eat, you know. And there really isn't anything right now. There's the best thing they can get, I think, is, you know, the buds on the trees. I think that's where it comes from. They'll come back. I think I talked about that the last time with little bits of pollen in those sacks on their little legs. Mm-hmm. So they've got that. So we keep feeding them right now that fondant. In fact, that Irish fondant that Steve found. They seem to like it pretty well. So whenever it's warm enough, he'll lift up the tops and the lids, you know, and peek in. And if he sees that they're running low, he'll put another fondant patty on there. So we have to do that until we know it's going to stay warm enough. Then, probably May, early May, we'll start giving them that fortified sugar water that they can use when we know that it won't freeze.
Is there anything the average, you know, person can do to help them? Because bees are such an integral part of that whole ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, it just make their yard or their land be friendly. And I think I had mentioned the last time you can put just a shallow lid of water out for them and make sure you've got some stones in there that they can climb up onto, because otherwise they'll drown. And it's now the hybrid flowers that don't propagate, repropagate, they don't have the pollen that they need. So, you want natural perennials and the more native, you know, to the state they are, probably the better. As much of that as possible is really, really good for them, because they're just always looking for something to eat. Fruit trees, any kind of a fruit tree, flowering fruit trees. Oh, they love those. They love our plum trees and crab apple trees. They like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And our raspberry bushes, of course, they love that too.
Okay. Yeah. So, they're such an integral part of the ecosystem that we have to get along with them and stuff.
And
now not destroy their environment.
Right. And Steve's been really working hard now on getting ready for spring, because it's usually about the first week in May that we get our new bees in. And several of them made it through the winter, but about maybe half of them didn't.
Really? So, this past winter, that was pretty easy, right?
Yeah. And sometimes you just don't know why. You just have no idea why. But so for the hives that didn't make it, he's going to be disassembling them. And then he pulls out those individual frames that they build out the honeycomb on. And we'll probably harvest all of that honey. So there will be a spring harvest of honey, which I'm fine with that. Because, man, we have really gone through our honey. We're really low now. So
we sell everything out here. It just takes a week or so, and it's always gone.
So we'll have to replenish, and it won't be long before we do that, as soon as the weather just stays really nice. And then it's kind of interesting, because I think on some of those foundations, he's going to scrape it all down. We'll get all the bees' wax off of it, And then we melt it down, so it's, and we purify it. And then he has some new, they're called foundations, that he puts on the frames, in the frames, and that's what they build off of. It's like a sheet of plastic, like 12 by 8 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then we coat it with beeswax. And then they, it makes, it just gives them an extra little boost. Mm-hmm. They don't, of beeswax, so they don't have to start totally from scratch. And then they'll start building out, and then we'll put that in the new comb or the new boxes of hives that will get started for him. They're called deeps. We'll have one deep, and then when he gets the new bees, then we'll be putting him into those boxes that he's gotten all fixed and ready for it. And there's one hive, the Carniolans. They're pretty hardy, and they're really, really doing well. So he's going to, I think, split. It's called a split, where you take a really bursting at the seams hive, and you have an empty hive, and you take about half of them and stick them in that new hive, and then you can either let them make their own queen, or you can buy a queen and stick in there, and the old queen stays in the old one, and then you split, and then instead of having one hive, you have two. Because if you don't do that, and if it's a really healthy hive full of lots of bees, well, then they're going to swarm, it's called, and they'll just leave, and who knows where they'll go. So you try to anticipate that and give them a new open place that they can live without having to swarm, and then they'll be content. So then you have two hives instead of one.
Well, here's a question that I just thought of as you were talking. It appears that some of the bees are more hardy than others. I mean, some, it's, you know, especially this last winter, which wasn't a bad winter, you lost some. Why wouldn't, you know, beekeepers then just continue with the hardy ones? Why switch brands and stuff?
Well, and you don't know, like, which ones are going to do better in your own place. And some produce more honey. Some are just nicer to deal with, too. And, like, the ones that we're going to get this spring, he ordered, they're a mixture of that Italian, the mild, gentle ones that I like so much, and Carniolan blend, I think. Because Carniolan, they're pretty feisty. They can be kind of feisty. And so we're hoping that this blend will be a little bit more mild-mannered, but still hardy producers.
See, that that was the part that I wasn't understanding.
Okay, neat.
So pretty soon, you said May is when you started?
First week in May, we'll probably get the new
ones. It's going to be here before you know it.
Yep.
You bet. So, okay, well, should we start talking about real estate?
Okay, might as well. Talking about bee houses, now let's talk about people houses.
There you go, there you go. Well, how about the Hastings update?
You know, when I pulled it up this today, you know, before we got together, there were about 91 homes, and about half of them had sold, about half of them are still on the market. And there were quite a few even coming soon. So it's typical. I've seen some springs where there were more homes available, but I tell you, it's been a crazy market. It's still what they call a seller's market. And it's pretty much the same as it was the last time I was here. They're not necessarily selling like the day they go on market. You've got to be prepared to for a little bit more of a wait, and maybe not get as many offers on it, but they are selling. They're definitely selling. And interest rates, same thing, are pretty much, they have been riding kind of in that same narrow, in the sixes now for quite a while. And unless something drastic changes, they seem to be pretty comfortable there. So I think the buyers, after that initial sticker shock when they boom went up and then they kind of settled down here, kind of used to that's what it is. So all their planning just is based around, you know, something in the sixes. So
is it becoming, if you can define it as that, a more normal market?
I would say so, closer. It's still more of a seller's market. And one of the ways that they determine that is they look at the all the houses that are on the market right now, and then how long it would take for them to all be gone. And usually I think you want a few months worth, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. And if it's a buyer's market, maybe you've got 6 months worth or more. So there's a plethora of homes, more homes than there are buyers probably. Mm-hmm. But when you've only got maybe a couple, 2 months or 3 months worth of houses that are sitting there, then that's a seller's market because there's just more competition, you know. Mm-hmm. But the buyers are savvy. They're not going to spend more than it's worth, especially now that the interest rates have gone back up to more normal. You can only afford so much of a house payment. And so you're not going to go crazy buying something you can't afford. So that has kind of tempered the value of the homes. Yeah.
I saw on one of the TV stations where a lot of these office buildings downtown St. Paul and Minneapolis are being converted to apartment condos. Are they?
Oh.
They actually, uh-huh. They were shown it, and they really looked nice with kitchens and bedrooms.
Oh,
and,
well, that would make sense. That's something that I'm not totally on top of, but that makes total sense because so many people, they're working from home. And I know it because when I'm helping people buy houses, you know, so many people are saying, well, you know, I work from home. Sometimes it's only a few days a week, but they have to have an office space dedicated, you know, to work. And way, way more now than I ever did, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're converting a lot of those buildings and they're selling them as, I think, condos or.
Sure. Yep.
And they looked really nice. So.
Oh, I bet. That's actually a very good idea.
So somebody's going to make some money on that.
Yeah.
So. Well, Pam, how can folks get a hold of you?
Oh, give me a call. My cell is 651-319-1298.
Or you can call the Edina Realty office in Hastings at 651-437-2121 and ask for the Bee Lady or ask for Pam Collins.
Yep, you'll get me.
You bet. Well, our topic of the day, and we have roughly about 5.5 to 6 minutes left of this, is it's going to be a series.
Yep.
the 10 steps to buying a home.
Right.
And we're going to talk about 10 steps, we're going to talk about those. And this week it'll be step number one.
Yeah. And the reason I called it 10 steps to buying a home is when I work a lot with first-time home buyers. And when you're buying a house, most people, if you haven't done it before, you don't kind of have a clue, you know, what to expect. And sometimes they're afraid to talk to you because they're afraid, is it meeting with an attorney? I'm going to have to pay for the consultation and, you know, just not knowing how it works. And I know last week I was talking about getting ready for spring, selling your house. And I noticed, I think last week, Christy talked also about getting your house ready to sell in the spring. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'm going to talk from the buyer's side, what you need to know. And what I would normally do, and what I'm pulling this from, is I have a whole folder, a whole packet, and a booklet that I've made out that I give to first-time home buyers, well, to any buyer that I'm working with, because even if you haven't bought in a house for 10 years, oh my word.
It changes
quickly.
Things
have changed, oh yeah.
I mean,
oh,
look
yeah.
at it, there are going to be another couple extra things from this, you know, legal thing that's
going
on.
Yeah, the big NAR settlement.
Added to all this stuff. I mean, it's just ongoing.
Yeah, it's always changing. That's why you need a realtor to help you kind of wade through it all. Mm-hmm. And in this booklet that I've put together, when we talk, it's all outlined around a sheet called 10 Steps to Buying a Home. And then that's how I've kind of organized everything. And I would say, I'm just going to take some time over the next few weeks and go through the steps just so you have an idea of what's involved in buying a home if you've never done it before. But also, if you want to get it all in one setting, just give give me a call and I can sit down and I can give you the booklet and we can kind of walk through it page by page, because the fun part is we go online, you know, into my back office on the computer, and we can map out the area that you want to live in. We can type in the criteria, you know, one bedroom, two bedroom, got to have a two-car garage. You know, it's you want a condo, you want a townhome, you don't want a townhome, you want a single-family home. Whatever your price point, you know, does it have to have a fireplace? You know, things like that. We can type all of that in. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. But I better get back focused so I have time for step one.
Yeah.
But it all goes back. The first step is you've got to get yourself a realtor.
Yep.
And if you look, when you're driving down the road, there's a sign in everybody's yard that has a house for sale. And it will have the a realtor's name on it. That realtor is representing the seller. And that realtor's goal is to sell that house as quickly as possible, or whenever in their time frame, at the highest price possible and at the terms that are the very best for that seller. And that's their job. That's their fiduciary duty, to keep confidences, to work on their behalf. The buyer's representative is exactly the opposite goal. We're trying to get the best deal for the buyer, which is the best price for it, the best terms that favor the buyer. And so what a buyer needs is somebody that is representing them, that has their best interests in mind. And it doesn't matter who is selling the house. The realtors, we all work together. And I'm Edina Realty, but I show houses from every brokerage imaginable. And I also do a lot of work with for sale by owners too, because somebody's got to do the paperwork. And then it always ends up falling on me if I'm, you know, the realtor putting the deal together. And I don't mind doing that. That works just fine. So you've got to get a realtor working on your behalf. That's the first thing that you do. And I'm scanning the market. I'm looking for homes, any way, shape, or form that I can find for you. And then we kind of refine the search. We'll talk more about that. But that's the first step. Get your realtor.
Right. And get them signed up and set to go. Because you're right. This is a free market, and it works really good if there's a buyer, seller, and people that know. I mean, I wouldn't even begin to understand all of what the stuff you do, and I think we'll learn that through all these steps that, you know, you spend a lot of time and money no matter who you're representing, but you can't represent both people.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, you
can. Well, I mean, you can, but
it's considered dual agency, and you really, hard line between the two. You don't share confidences between the two. That's probably the biggest, most important one.
It's got to be tougher.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of times within agents in the office, we'll kind of work with each other and maybe even have somebody else handle part of the other side just to keep that line. Yeah.
There you go. Well, Pam, one final time, how can folks get a hold of you?
Give me a call, 651-319-1298.
Thank you, Pam. It's been fun.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Talk Real Estate on KDWA. If you'd like to get a hold of Pam, you can give her a call on her cell phone at 651-319-1298, or you can call the Edina Realty office of Hastings at 651-437-2121 and ask for the B Lady or Pam. This is KDWA Hastings, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and around the world at KDWA.com.